Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
So I want to share briefly here about the idol of comfort. How are you doing? You doing all right? Was that all right? It's good to just linger, flow with what God's doing. But we've been talking about idols. And everybody enjoying that all right? Everybody feeling a bit challenged? Yep, okay. No one wants to admit it. That's okay. Last week we talked about the idol of ego. Today we're talking about the idol of comfort. And the thing about idols is that God really does want to set us free. And it is for freedom that Christ set us free. He didn't set us free so we can go back into bondage and slavery. He set us free so that we can be free. And the problem with idols is idols get us stuck so that we go back into slavery. We can be thinking we've got God in our life, but actually we are living under an idol or an ideology that has replaced God as God in our life. And the thing about God is God doesn't do third wheeling. God is not your wingman, you know what I'm saying? Jesus has never joined anything. Jesus has never joined anything. Disciples didn't say, "Jesus, follow me." "Hey, Jesus, follow us." Jesus said, "Hey, you boys, follow me." Jesus doesn't join anything because Jesus is everything. Jesus is all-consuming. He is all-powerful. You never shrink Jesus down to join something. You take what you are and you join him. We are not trying to get Jesus to join this church. You hear me today? Can I get an amen today? We are not trying to get Jesus to join this church. We as a church are here to join Jesus. Amen. And follow him. So we are saying, "Lord, you lead. We will follow. How are we going, Lord? Are we in alignment with you, Lord?" Not, "Jesus, come on, come down here." No, no, we are joining him. We are following him. And this is what it means, that we are making sure that Jesus is number one, that he is Lord. St. Augustine said an idol is a substitute for God that takes the place of the creator in the creature's heart. Tim Keller said it like this: anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything you seek to give you what only God can give you, is an idol. It could be things. The thing about idols is they're sneaky. They are very, very sneaky. They are really annoying because they're not always bad things. And people think, well, when we're talking about idol, we're talking about that Buddha statue, right? We're talking about like witchcraft. We're talking about evil stuff. Actually, what we're talking about is things like Arsenal Football Club. Amen. We're talking about things in our life. We're talking about food. We're talking about family. We're talking about work. We're talking about money. We're talking about good things. None of those things are bad. You hear me today? None of those things are bad. But when they have become supreme in our life, they have now taken and are occupying the seat that only God is designed to sit in. And so things are not bad, but things become bad when they become God and they take his place, when we are reliant on them, when we go to things for escape that we should be going to God to get comfort from. That's a sign that that thing is an idol. If we are going to substances to escape, those substances have become an idol. If we are going to a person for escape, then that person has become an idol. If we are looking for a show on Netflix to find some peace and escape from our life, Netflix has become an idol. There is nothing wrong with Netflix. In fact, there's a lot of things wrong with Netflix, but there's nothing wrong with these things. They are only wrong if they've become our source of peace, joy, love, hope, freedom. If they are the things that we are relying on for us to feel okay in life, then if I just have that, then I'll be okay. If I just get that, then finally I'll be okay. That's the sign that the thing you are chasing is an idol. And the thing about an idol, it will always disappoint you, because when you get there, it'll break your heart. It'll let you down. Once you've got it, you think you've got what you were looking for, but it turns out only God can fill that void, that desire, that need in your life. And so the idol of comfort expresses itself in our lives in two ways, because we live in a society that is dominated by the ideology of avoiding discomfort. Do whatever it takes to avoid discomfort. Get buy this, buy that, so you have an easier life. Do this, do that. But what's interesting about our society, it is dominated by this seeking of comfort and pleasure in things, but it is also dominated by workaholism. Work, 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 work. You need more, 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 more. You don't have enough of this. You don't have enough of that. Buy more, get more, push, push, push. Dominate, dominate, dominate. Get stronger, get bigger. We got a workaholic society at the same time as being an apathetic society. And what we're going to find is that is very accurate, because both are the manifestation of the same idol. The idol of comfort will manifest as either apathy or workaholism. Apathy is when we are avoiding work. Workaholism is when we are addicted to work. But both are a way of getting comfort. That if I avoid work, I'm going to be comfortable. If I work, 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 I'll be comfortable. It's one way of avoiding, it's another way of controlling. But here's the truth, everybody. God is designed to be our source of comfort. God is designed to be your source of comfort. And look what it says to the workaholic. Now, if I was in any one of these camps, which I am, and you all are, everyone is, it's okay. Everyone just calm down, don't worry. You're in one of these camps because we drift. But if I was in one of them, I would be a workaholic. I just love working. I'm just going to go till I drop. I didn't even know that I'm feeling tired. I'm just going. And I love it. I love that. Any people like me? A few people. But then there's the other side that is apathetic. So look what the scripture says. Look what the scriptures say. Hebrews 13:5. This is to the workaholic. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content. Everyone say content. With what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't it amazing that the writer of Hebrew there connects being content with what you have? And what do you have? You have him who will never leave you nor forsake you. If you have Jesus with you, you have everything, everybody. If you have God on your side, you have everything. You need not strive for anything. You lack nothing if you have God. Proverbs 13:11, this is to the workaholic, wealth gained hastily will dwindle. But whoever gathers little by little, who gathers little by little will increase it. Amen. Psalm 127, 1-2. Song of accents, essence of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, here we go. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Amen, everybody. Amen. But when we get apathetic, and we all do, I get apathetic too. I get complacent. At conference, God absolutely wrecked me. He just smashed me, like in a good way. Some people are like, whoa, what? No, God, just like the touch of God in my life. I think I got prayed for about 300 times by about 27,000 people. Just boom, 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 boom. I didn't even know he was praying for me. I was under the seat. I was on the seat. I was above the seat. I didn't even know what was happening. But I felt God convict me of being complacent. I mean, I thought, Lord, I'm pretty hungry for God. I'm pretty on fire. I felt the Lord convict me of the fear of man and of being complacent. And I got to tell you, I feel ruined for God. Like anything else I look at or you know, for rest or for, it just doesn't match up to the presence of God. And this is what God wants for us. To the apathetic, look what Proverbs says, sluggards do not plow in season. So at harvest time, they look but find nothing. Proverbs 14:23, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Proverbs 12:24, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. Proverbs 12:11, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. And here's what I think. I think in the church today, apathy is a silent killer. It kills hunger. It kills desire. And it leaves us with a form of godliness, but no power. Because God wants to take out, the enemy wants to take out the content. He's happy with us having all the wrappings, but he wants to take away the content. A form of godliness, but no power. But no power. Apathy kills the fire of God in the church. You know, it sounds like, don't overexert yourself. Don't be too passionate. Don't be too hungry for God. Just make sure you're comfortable. If it's a nice beach day, go for it. Like on a Sunday, I'm saying. You can go every other day, I'm just saying. You know, church or beach, you know. Don't sacrifice, keep a 100. Just keep your options open. Apathy, I feel, is a silent killer of a strong, healthy, mighty church. But you know what else? I think control is an overt killer of the church. When we start controlling what we should be relinquishing, when we start getting our hands on things, trying to control outcomes, rather than allowing God to do what God can do and we do what we are called to do. Control when we are wanting everything done faster. I know that I need a break when I get impatient because nothing is fast enough. I want the petrol in the car, just it's too slow. I just want to get in there quicker. Everything's slow, the traffic's slow, everything's slow. I'm just annoyed at everything, I'm impatient. But that is not good. That is not good. I'm being vulnerable with you today. You're all good? He's going to leave me up here. It's fine. So I need God to work patience into my life so that I'm diligent, but I'm patient and I'm allowing God to do what only God can do and not trying to control the outcome. So this is the expression of the same idol that gets us stuck. But all in all, the issue comes back to this one point. Who is the source of your comfort? Who comforts you? What comforts you? What is the source of comfort in your life? Look what 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Everyone say comfort. Who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That says comfort a lot, that scripture, because it's trying to make a point that God is the comforter, that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And when we embrace the comfort of God, we are now empowered to comfort others. That's why this year in our Connect groups, we're going to have hampers, everybody. Me and my Connect group, we're going to get 4 hampers. I want you to go to the Next Step Lounge and we're going to get hampers and we're going to give them to the community. We're partnering with One Meal. You need to be back on 3rd of December. There you go, 3rd of December. And we're going to go comfort our community with the comfort that we have from God. God is our source of comfort. So when you're weary, when you're tired, when you need a break, when you need escape, where do you go? Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So as we come to the Lord for comfort, what we need to resist is the urge to get ahead of him or fall behind him. Apathy will cause us to fall behind. Workaholism will cause us to run ahead. Jesus dealt with this in his disciples on a regular basis. Have you heard of Peter? Anybody heard of Peter? You know Peter? Come on, talk to me. You know Peter? Peter had this issue where he would always run ahead of Jesus, and Jesus would always bring him back and say, follow me. Jesus one time is talking about how he's going to die on the cross and rise again. And Peter says, no, no, Lord, never, not on my watch. I'm not going to let that happen. And then Jesus said, hey, Peter, get behind me, Satan. He said, get behind. You're running ahead. Get behind. Get behind. One time, Peter cut off a Roman soldier's ear because he ran ahead of Jesus. And Jesus said, that's not how this goes, Peter. And he put the ear back on the soldier. One time, Peter, Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. And as Jesus was washing Peter's feet, he said, no, Lord, wash my whole body. And Jesus was like, calm down, bro. That is weird. You know, just calm down. Stop running ahead. But Jesus also rebuked the disciples for falling behind. He said to them when they were on the boat in the storm, and the storm was blowing and they were afraid. Jesus was sleeping and they were crying out, thinking they were going to die, even though they had Jesus on their boat. And Jesus comes and he says, storm, be still. And then he turns to them and says, you have little faith. Come on. Come on, he's saying. You have little, come on. Then it says, how long? He says one time he cast out a demon because the disciples couldn't cast out the demon. And so Jesus said, how long will I be with this faithless generation? How long am I going to put up with these guys? Jesus was saying, come on, keep up, keep up. One time they asked Jesus, how are we going to feed all these thousands of people? And Jesus said, you feed them. You feed them. Stop trying to just pass the buck to me. You feed them. Come on, keep up. I'm discipling you. So we need both, everybody. We need to stay behind Jesus, and we need to make sure we keep up with Jesus, that we are not falling off the pace, but we are not running ahead. Can I get an amen today? Amen. Faith and patience combined together. Band, I'd love you to join me as we close. Everybody, can you close your eyes? Thank you, Lord. You set us free from the idol of comfort, that we would be diligent. Diligent. Diligent is when I do what I am responsible to do, and I trust God to do what he said he would do. Diligent. Diligent. Working the land, but trusting God to bring the increase. Diligent. Diligent. To the HSC student, studying for your HSC, but crying out to God for help during it. Relying on God. Saving money, but believing God for a miracle. Looking after your health. Being diligent with your body, but trusting God if you need a miracle, that his power is able. Diligent. Lord, we thank you today that you are restoring in us comfort that comes from you. Everybody, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. As we close in this last minute, the first thing I want you to do where you are is recognize, have you got apathy? Or have you got some control going on? Where are you? Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, where am I? Maybe you've got a bit of both in different areas. Join the club. Lord, where am I? Thank you, Holy Spirit, you reveal to us wherever this idol is at work in our lives. And as you've recognized it, the thing to do now is to repent. Everybody wants you. Have you got it? Have you got it? Have you got it? Have you got that place? Now just bring it to the Lord and say, God, I repent. I turn to you in this area where I've been avoiding, or where I've been pushing, running ahead of you. I repent. And I come back to you. Everybody, why don't you stand up? Stay in that place of looking to God. In just a moment, we're going to close the service. And if you want prayer, if you want to come with the team and pray, we're going to open up the altar. But this last thing we're going to do, if you're here today and you know in your heart God is calling you, maybe for the first time or back to Himself. If that's you today, you sense that God is calling you. Every eye closed, nobody moving. Nobody moving. Nobody moving. You sense God is calling you back. If that's you today, I want you to raise your hand if that's you. God's calling me. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Anybody else is saying that's me? Calling you back to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Thanks, man. I see your hand. Well done. Anybody else? Saying that's me. I sense that God is calling me to make Jesus my Lord. A couple more seconds of that thing. Thanks, man. Awesome. Well done. Beautiful. Anybody else? Two beautiful people, amazing. Two great men. Anybody else? Now's the time. So good. Let's say this prayer. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving me. I turn to you as my Lord, as my source, and I thank you that I am saved, that I have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I thank you that you comfort me as I look to you as my King, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Church, let's worship one more time. We're finished. Just reach out and let God speak. Sawney's going to close the service. But like I said, if you want prayer, we're going to pray for you after the service. Let's sing. All my tradition, your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the
listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.